Welcome back inside the cave, 96.5 FM, 965thecave.com. We hope you had a chance to listen to that interview we just did with Francesca Scarapatolo,
yes,
the Adrian High School swimmer, our athlete of the week. You can probably see her on social media. So we'll post up a picture at some point today on our Cave social media. But for right now, we're going to talk some college athletics. And we go up north to the University of Michigan. And our man from the Wolverine magazine, John Borton, joins us on the phone. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ian. Great to be with you.
Well, yeah, it's fun to talk to you. I mean, some days I miss being on Thursdays with Pat because, you know, I'd offer a different perspective or a different angle and I'd attack Pat. And it'd be fun. It was a fun time. It's good to talk to you now. So, Michigan, up to number 3 in the ranking. What's the reaction like up in Ann Arbor?
Well, I think people are happier than they were a week earlier when that first college football playoff ranking came out and Michigan was number 5.
Yeah.
I remember at the time saying, look, there are a lot that's going to play out, so let's not get too shook up about this. Little did I know that it was going to play out in the 7 days that followed, and you'd see 3 of the top 6 teams going down the very next weekend. But that's exactly what we saw, you know, Tennessee, Clemson, Alabama all losing, and Michigan jumps up to number 3 in those rankings. The interesting thing to me is if the playoffs started today, you would have 1 Ohio State versus Michigan in a showdown, and that'd be a little bit of fun in the playoffs. I'll say that, but obviously they're going to knock heads before the playoffs ever start. So it's definitely heating up.
And that was a possibility I remember being discussed leading up to the Michigan Ohio State game a few years ago, John.
That oh,
they
no
may
doubt.
Meet
that
again
2006,
in the playoffs.
1-2.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've been talking about that quite a bit on my podcast and then on with other people. That Gary Danielson, the CBS broadcaster, said later that look, had there been a 4-team playoff, then I would have advocated for that rematch for Michigan and Ohio State both to have made it. And you know, I think that I said before the season, that's a possibility. And I get that people say Michigan's non-conference could hurt them in that respect. But if you run the table up to Ohio State, you go down to Ohio State, and then you lose a 2006 kind of game, some 42-39 shootout, that's not what Michigan has in mind. Certainly they're looking to win. But if that happens, depending on what other people do, I definitely think that that's a possibility this year.
Well, and especially by then,
that both teams make it.
Right, especially by then, depending on what happens with Georgia, Ohio State and Michigan could be 1-2. And, you know, if say, Michigan goes down to Columbus as the 2 and knocks off Ohio State as the 1, is Ohio State mm-hmm. really going to fall all the way out of the top 4?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so.
I
now,
can't see it.
5 may end up passing them after the conference championship games, but I would think going into the conference championships games, there would be a real opportunity for both of them to still be in the top 4.
Yeah, I absolutely do. The way they have played, you know, I don't know that this is the best year for the Big Ten mm-hmm. overall, although Penn State can give some people trouble. There's no question about that. So they may, you know, get discounted there somewhat. But I don't see any conference in this country that is a superpower. Georgia is a very, very good team.
Yes.
You found that out firsthand last winter. But Bama is very, it's not invincible this year.
Correct.
You've seen that.
Yep.
And there are other teams in the SEC. They all have, you know, everybody was touting Tennessee until all of a sudden, boom, they weren't in that game. So I do think that there's a definite chance for Michigan and Ohio State, if things break right, to both be in the playoff.
So, yeah, I mean, for that to happen, The wild card in that to me is Tennessee sitting there at 5, right? If they win out, it'll basically be between probably a one-loss Tennessee versus a one-loss either Michigan or Ohio State. Do you see that being the case, or maybe Tennessee would jump to 4 in that scenario? Because I don't know if people buy TCU at 4.
That's exactly what I was about to say. TCU, yes, they have not lost a game. But when you look at the overall competition that they faced, there will be a real hard reckoning as to whether they have earned their way in. And, what would TCU do if it played a Michigan or an Ohio State or a Georgia? And so I think that has to factor in.
Are we discounting the Pac-12? I mean, I know there's no undefeated, but could like an Oregon or one of those type of teams give Michigan or Ohio State cause for concern, going into the last week of the year?
Yeah, I would say it matters when you lose. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. You can recover and work your way back up. And it is a sort of a natural disadvantage for Michigan and Ohio State in this narrow sense, mm-hmm. in the sense of the playoff, for them to play as late as they do, because that's a late loss. And somebody could, yes, slip by you if they are perceived as being the hot team towards the end. But again, I just think if you run the table to that mm-hmm. game, and then you can't get blown out. You can't lose by 2 or 3 touchdowns and look like you've been handled. But if you recall that shootout in the year that we were referring to, 2006, that kind of a game that swings on one play, absolutely. There would be a great audience to see a rematch of that.
One more, and then I'll let John jump in. I know I steal interviews most of the time. I'm sorry. But, talking about that game being at the end of the year, and you look back to, y'all have been Michigan fans for longer than I've been alive. That game, Ohio State-Michigan, usually was, okay, you win that, you play in the Rose Bowl, because that's where the Big Ten champion played. A lot has changed since then, so could it benefit both schools? I know this would be just pitchforks and stuff in the street, but could you move this game up in the year to where, yes, it matters, but if you lose, you can get back in it?
Yeah, I personally would hate to see it. I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying there's nothing to it, but
College football is different, right? I mean, things have to change a little bit.
Yes, I understand that. But arguably, you've got the best two teams, the best two football traditions in the Big Ten. Now, Nebraska fans would argue vehemently with that, but they haven't done anything in a while now. Battling it out in the last game of the year to advance to the Big Ten championship game and probably the playoffs. I still don't see a problem with that. That gives those two squads who, when they are at their what we would say historical norm, the best two teams in the Big Ten, and it gives them the season worth of development. And they are going to hit each other at their best there in late November. And the tradition of that, I would hate to see it moved. And I understand that the reasons that people argue for it, I just hate to see it.
And, to dovetail on that, John, we all know as much as college football has changed, it still holds tradition in very high regard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just to... I can recall as a kid waking up on that morning, and I have always likened it to the same childlike sense that you get when you wake up and you come out of that sleepy haze and realize it's Christmas morning and you've got presents to open. And for a long time, Michigan-Ohio State has been a monumental present to open at the end of the season. And, you know, despite the fact that Michigan went through a real dry spell, the worst in its history leading up to last year's breakthrough game, I think it's getting back now to the point where you can enjoy this game back on even footing. And I'm ready to see that, and I'm ready to see it at the climax of the season in late November.
Well, then, John, I can't wait for your article petitioning for no Big Ten championship game either, because didn't have that for a long time, you know?
No. Well, I understand that, but, I mean, that's become almost a de facto scrimmage to get ready for other things. I mean, you look at the West right now, the West could end up with 7-5-4 teams tied for first and last the way things have gone. You know, that's just it would be different if Nebraska was up to its historical norm, or at least for many, many years, or Wisconsin was where it was in the 90s. But right now, it's just like, okay, you've got Michigan, Ohio State to determine who's going to smoke the West in the championship game.
So off of that, you know, maybe go away with divisions. Like, you know, we talk about the evolution of college football. Could we see it where, you know, we could get a rematch in the Big Ten title game of a Michigan-Ohio State if they're still both at the top at the end of the year? So we don't get this bloodbath, you know, after the regular season?
Well, here's what we know. Change is coming, and big change is coming. You've already got USC and UCLA arriving here not too long down the road, and there could be other Pac-12 teams coming into the picture, or former ones that would go to the Big Ten, or maybe others. And we do not know exactly the form that this league is going to take. And so I'm a wait and see there, because, you know, we can put out all the theories that we want, but things are going to change. And how that's going to be, how they're going to determine a Big Ten champion, I want to wait and see what happens there. But I do think that the one thing I know is that most Michigan fans that I have talked to would like to see that cornerstone of Michigan-Ohio State remain where it is on the schedule, and then go from there, build around that.
Okay, John, we have just a couple minutes left, and we want to just do a quick dive into the early part of men's basketball season. Obviously, you know, I think going into the Purdue-Fort Wayne game, a lot of people might have thought, oh, this will be an easy way. Purdue-Fort Wayne is actually a fairly solid team with a lot of returning players.
No doubt. Good quickness. I believe predicted to win its league or be right up there at the top. And, you know, you saw that. Michigan came out, and it was a mixed bag. They certainly have the wherewithal to run away from a team even that good, and they did at times with Hunter Dickinson going, I think it was 9-for-11 from the field, and Jet Howard, who is the youngest of the Howard boys on the roster, that is going to be a real sensation for this team, filling it up. I was taken by the fact that, you know, Jet would nail a three and maybe lose his footing afterwards. And here was dad head coach Juwan Howard very urgently waving him back down the court, like, here's the important part of this, get back on defense. You know, I saw some defensive and rebounding areas that as a team Michigan is going to want to clean up, and can and has time to. So, but they've got weapons. There's no doubt about that, from Doug McDaniel, the little point guard coming in and just bringing down the house with a behind-the-back dribble and finish on a fast break. There's a lot of good parts to this team. So I'm interested to see how it develops in the weeks to come.
We've been talking with John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine. I know we got to get your plug in there, John. How can they get your content?
Well, we've got the monthly magazine that you can get all kinds of recruiting information and features and analysis by calling 800-421-7751. And check us out every single day on the On3.com network and under the Wolverine. And we're cranking out the copy every single day, podcasts and more analysis and you name it.
Well, John, it's great to talk to you. I wish we had more time. I feel like we're old friends and we had to catch up. I hope you did a good job. Again, that's John Borton with the Wolverine Magazine. And thanks for being part of the Cave.
Enjoyed it very much. You guys are great as always. Thanks.
Thank
right,
you,
take
John.
Take care. Once again, John Borton with the Wolverine Magazine right here inside the Cave.